Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Unfiltered Studios, your one-stop destination for a diverse range of podcasts that cater to every interest. Join St. Joe on Nailed It as he explores the fascinating times of the 80s and 90s. Find solace in the advice of a mother on Petals of Support. Dive deep into intriguing interviews on The Sleevey G Show. Catch up with the latest in sports on Unfiltered Sports Weekly. Connect with your spiritual side on Finding Your Way. Achieve mental wellness with Hypno-Wellness. Never forget the history of everyday items with The Stupid History Minute. Understand how we've become the people we are today on How to Be Less of an Asshole. And gather with fellow movie enthusiasts on Movie Lovers Unite. Your journey into the world of podcasts begins here at Unfiltered Studios. Subscribe now and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com for more information.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me, I have my good friend Vernon with me from It Is What It Is podcast. We are actually going to be reviewing Arnie's new book called Be Useful, Seven Tools for Life. And I can't wait to actually dive into this. I actually enjoy the book. I know that Vernon did too. So let's go ahead. Let's do this. Let's review Seven Tools for Life. And hey, man, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me back on. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And I just want to say it was great having you for Trading Places. Now here we are doing a book review.
The diversity of the reach, man. That's how you do it. It's expanding exactly. The universe. That's it.
Exactly, man. This is going to be part of our intermission episodes that are just audio podcast only. And for everybody on my Patreon, you can actually go to Movie Lovers Unite /Patreon. And you guys can go ahead, get this episode and many other episodes that we do here at Movie Lovers Unite commercial free. You sign on to the Patreon, you also go in and get a shout out for signing up. So, and this is actually going to be our $5 tier for the Patreon. And it's called The Intermission. So, without further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's talk about Seven Tools for Life. And so, whenever I told you about this book, man, what was your first initial thoughts when it comes down to Arnold?
So, you pitched the idea of doing this book review. And I thought, I was like, hey, that's unique. I don't see too many podcasters, YouTubers, social media people do this. It's like taking the book club and bringing it to the digital space. I was like, that's an ingenious idea. There wasn't any hesitation. I think sometimes you have preconceived notions about what the author is going to provide as far as insight and the content. If you are looking for fitness tips, you will not find one single tip. I think the purpose of this book, at least what he was trying to establish, was in order to achieve anything, there is a strategy behind everything. And he gets into more of the mindset of creating an outcome that didn't have a blueprint to begin with, right? And I think that's unique. And I've always said one of the things I've admired about Arnold is that he pushed a subject that not only was not popular, it was not known. It was a very sub niche that did not have a lot of attention thrown towards it. And he created a universal phenomenon. And if there's anything about his legacy that you can add or stamp, is that he is the reason why gyms exist today. I mean, you can say right. That you can say that without a shot, right? So an amazing book for strategists, an amazing book for life. And I think he brings out some very valuable points.
I think so too. And here's the thing. I'm not one of those people that pick up self-help books or anything like that either. And for me to be in tune with what Arnold is trying to do with this book, everything says a lot, because I actually heard him talk about this on the Howard Stern show and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, I have to pick this up now because of just this overall excitement on it. And it just goes to show inside the book, it says sell it. And you have to sell yourself in order to gain something from something as well. And that was a huge thing that I really liked within his book itself. And like you said, Vernon, there's when you look at it, though, there is no tips on working out or anything like that. There are metaphors on how he got to where he was, and he uses what he knows. He knows the gym life. He also knows the movie life, and he also knows the political life. So this guy has been around the block and back again. And, you know, I think it's very intriguing to actually have a book like this and to be able to give his thoughts on it. And, you know, the chapter that really stood out for me was Sell Yourself. And how many of us go on our own podcast? And I'm using the podcast thing because that's my thing. Sure. That's my dream. Sure. That's and I'm using the things that Arnold uses metaphors as a way for me to grow my podcast and grow my community within itself. And how many of us do this? We go on other people's podcasts and we're like, well, we think that we wanted to go this way, but we don't know if we wanted to go that way. Arnold's like, no, either you go on ahead, you sell it at 100%, even though you don't know if it's going to go a certain way, you still sell it. And that's what you need to do. You need to learn how to sell your business or sell your hobby so other people can care about what you're doing in this space. Otherwise, you're not going to end up going all the way. But what do you think?
No, I agree with you. I think he has a what I would call a ramp approach to how he's delivering his message. Sell. So you're talking about chapter 4.
Yeah.
I think the starting point of knowing clearly, at least on a large scale, of what you want, and then making that even bigger, and then reverse engineering it from small steps. Right. And I agree with you. Sell. I think his focus for sell is having the confidence that your dream can come to pass regardless of the naysayers, and that you don't have to have the right pedigree for this desired outcome. I mean, he really gets into, you know, even from acting, being a leading man. And he said when, you know, he would go for films, he said they would always tell him he could be like a war hero or something, but he couldn't be a leading man because
it's acting. Or he could be like a Russian war soldier or something like that, but he can never be a leading man. He goes, no, that's not what I want.
Right. And he pushed the narrative of what that looks like, even challenging himself with comedy. He talks about even the movie Twins, you know, mm-hmm. which I always thought was underrated, you know, of Arnold's catalog, and how, you know, comedy was a stretch for him, but he challenged himself. And I think that's really what it's about. Like, we cannot believe what you don't believe. And the power of belief is that it first has to be verified and it has to be attainable, right? So for him to, I think, have that confidence that I could go for this, I could be a politician, I could be governor of California, right? Being a German-born native and yet become governor of one of the largest, if not the largest state in the United States of America. You know, that takes a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. And you can't just go off a whim and instead decide I want to become governor of any state. Particularly California, right? So, you know, I think what Arnold is really trying to do in his latter years is he recognizes that there is a disbelief in self with this generation and current generations, and this is ultimately going to derail progress.
Right.
And he's pushing the narrative that, no, you really do have what it takes if you're really ready to starve for it. I used to say be hungry for it, but now I'm saying starve for it. Right. So I think sell is a fantastic chapter.
Me too. And I just want to go over one last thing before we move on to what you want to say about some of the other things that stood out for you. But another thing to me was with Arnold was this. He's like, I could see my name plastered on posters in big letters.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to get there. I knew what I wanted right out of the gate. And this is what I want to do. And I knew exactly what I wanted to do as a podcaster whenever I first started this thing. And he said, you know what? Don't go with plan B. Go with plan A, because plan B is just going to go on ahead and get in the way. And that's going to turn into plan A, basically. And he goes, and so what I imagined was I wanted to interview people. I wanted to go on ahead and I wanted Movie Loves Unite to be a stamp on something and be a part of a festival. And also I wanted to do something within Netflix or something like that with the podcast.
Yeah.
And I could see it. I could, just like how Arnold saw it in the poster, I saw what I wanted and envisioned. And I did that within a year of the podcast.
Sure.
Whenever the Netflix publicist reached out to me and emailed me, I'm just sitting down on my butt eating a roast beef sandwich on my break. And all of a sudden I get a thing from the publicist from Netflix. Then that happened to me. Then the Holly Shorts Film Festival stuff happened.
Yeah.
So it's all about selling yourself. It's all about believing in that dream and having that vision on what you want to do. Your vision may be different than what Vernon and our dream is, but this is what our dream is to us. So what, so what's the next chapter that you wanted to go over?
I think that is absolutely key for life and everything. I think the chapter that really made me reevaluate myself was really shut your mouth and open your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy to become siloed. I mean, every human being, I don't care, you know, whatever ideology you attach yourself to, you're born with innate barriers. And I think barriers can be preventative, can be helpful in some degree, in some measure. I think it is a sense of identity. But at the same time, sometimes we limit our own success out of fear. You know, like you said, you're just sitting there, you know, and you got the email from Netflix. What if you never reached out? What if you never had that vision for yourself that you could be a part of a conglomerate like Netflix, right? What if the vision never included that? Just think how much opportunity you would have missed. And I think that's really what we do damage to ourselves. And I don't mean like shut your mouth, open your mirrors as a point of fantasy. And I think Arnold does a good job establishing vision from fantasy. And I think a lot of people have fantasies and lofty ideas of
something that he covered was people have ideas, people have fantasies, but they don't do nothing with them. And there's 24 hours in a day. Sorry, I don't want to take.
No, you're good. No, you're good. And I think that the working toward a vision is what separates a fantasy from an actual vision of oneself, right? Like if there's no work, then you're talking about an endorphin rush, right? You're not really talking about true substance. So I think that does it. And then I think the other thing, work your butt off, right? Like there's fatigue is real. Yeah, creative, you know. Writer's block, creative block. Sometimes you feel like, man, maybe I had my best podcast episode. I can't do better. But you'd be surprised. You know, a little bit more coffee. You know, like I'm not trying to adopt the philosophy, don't sleep. I think that is stupid. You can literally harm yourself that way. But I do think sometimes a little bit more coffee might do the trick, right? And sometimes we don't really value hard work. You know, and I think we assume it, but man, you'd be surprised. Like when you look back, like John, think about how many episodes you have done to get to this point, right?
700, like, over 700 and something episodes.
That's it. I mean, YouTube sent me a video thing a month ago and it was like, you're at your 700 video. And I'm like, 700? Like I wasn't keeping count, right? I was just creating. And then I was stumbling and fumbling, throwing stuff at the wall, seeing if this worked, that worked. But after a while, you start realizing that as you go, the vision becomes clearer because it becomes more attainable. Right.
Right.
And that's where you really have to keep going. The consistency of effort is faith. And that's where I think a lot of people stop at is that, yeah, they start. They might do 3 episodes and you never hear from them. They're not consistent. No. You can't follow their progress, their page, their social media is not there. They haven't baptized themselves and they haven't been all in. And the evidence is vital. Right. And look, there will always be outliers. There's always going to be lucky individuals that they knew somebody. It was the right time and right place. And they blew up with one episode. But if you think about it, that is so rare and so unsustainable. That's not a
form. And I'll be real with you. If that happened to me, I wouldn't be as hungry as I am for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, okay, well, I peaked. What do I do now to top what I just got made of?
Right.
And, you know, I think if I did that, I wouldn't be as hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I worked my butt off in 100 degree weather, sweating my butt off in a car, doing podcast episodes on my phone because I had Anchor at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know who I'm reaching. I didn't care. And also, too, I didn't keep up with the number of episodes. I was like, this is episode 100. This is episode 300. And it got to the point where I started labeling my numbers. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Once you get past 100.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So I ended up going through my whole entire catalog. Right? I backspaced all the numbers. I said, none of this crap matters. They don't care about what episode that you're on.
Uh-huh.
They care about the content and what you're providing. And so I'm like, who cares? That's just bragging rights for me to say I'm on my 100th episode.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, so I ended up backspacing all that crap out and just said, you know what? This is who I am. This is me. I'm just going to go with it. And I think that's the best route to go about if you're a podcaster. It's like, forget about the numbers. Oh, this is episode 1,500. Oh, no. For me, it's just like, do what you do. Just make it short, make it simple, make it attainable, like you said.
Yeah.
And people will listen. And yeah.
No, and I think also God will give you hints.
Right.
He'll never give you the full like entree at once, but it'll give you like an appetizer here and a dessert right there, and it'll give you little things that let you know that, hey, you're on the right path, keep going. And I think that's what you have to listen to. And sometimes we like to ignore the truth, right? Like, oh, I don't want to do that, but the reality is it's staring you in the face,
right?
And when you stop counting, that's when it starts happening. When you stop counting, like, stop counting it, just keep going. He quotes this. Now, the only reference he gives to bodybuilding, and he has said this in many videos, he said he looked up to Muhammad Ali because when Muhammad Ali would train abs, he would not start counting until it started to hurt. So, like, if it didn't hurt, it didn't count. And he said when he took that approach, it doesn't count until it starts to hurt.
Right.
That's when you can say, now, yeah, my 100th episode, that hurt. You know, like you said, being on Anchor. I mean, like, Anchor was the first. It's a free, you know, you can throw it out there.
I didn't know anything about audio editing either. I just threw it out there into the wind, and that was it. I just uploaded it. That's it.
Hello. And I don't think I know any podcaster that has not started with Anchor. And Anchor still, and I'm not dissing, because Anchor, I don't want you to sue me. So I'm not dissing you. I'm just saying, like, a true podcaster, a true content creator is going to start at ground zero, right? Unless you can come in with $1 million budget, you got film crew that's going to do all your filming, and they're going to do your splicing and editing, and they're going to do all your marketing. If you can do that, it's just like when I see, and there's no disrespect, I'm not, you know, everybody, I believe this room at the table for everybody, but if you're a famous person that starts a podcast and you could throw $1 million into it, how creative really were you, right? Like, you already had a platform. That's like, I always say, that's like Yao Ming dunking. If you're already 8 feet tall, you didn't have to jump that high. Right. No. And it's okay. you just put your arm up, right? But if you're Muggsy Bogue, if you're Nate Robinson, and you jump and dunk, that's a little bit more impressive just because
it's more of a reach.
So, like, with you and me, we've had to really reach, right? I didn't play in the NBA. I didn't play in the NFL. And it's no shot at anybody. It's just a fact. Like, we couldn't start off with just, you know, this is the Cody Show. And people are like, oh, watch this. You know, like, some people can just go off name, right? But
my other thing, though, I hear people do is, welcome the best damn show on the planet Earth, da 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 da. I'm like, you only have one episode. And I know that you're supposed to sell it, but within that one episode.
Hey, you got, maybe that's overconfidence, but you have some, you have some individuals. And I think that's really what the book points out. The book is not about arrogance. The book is about a solid foundation for proven results. And the confidence that I think Arnold is trying to give to the reader is that if you're willing to go through the ugliness of it all, you can actually come out on top, right? So, and I agree with you. I think a lot of people are wanting instantaneous fame and instantaneous success.
It's the world that we live in.
Yeah. Right. But if it's instant, it's not going to last. I want it faster. I admit it. Everybody wants it faster. But instant and faster are two different things, right?
Right. But here's the thing, though. This is the metaphor that I love that Arnold did was, It's like lifting weights. That first episode is that 5-pound weight.
Yeah.
You go through your first episode. Yep. You go on ahead, you put another weight on and another one. Next thing you know, you maxed out your weights. So therefore, you have to do something else. Yep. And it may hurt because let's say, for instance, you think that this is the best episode that you ever done.
Yep.
And it does dog crap. Maybe you have like 5 downloads or 3, 1 downloads.
Yeah.
And you're like, that was disappointing. That hurt. So therefore, do you stop or do you go and keep on going? No. Keep on pressing on. And so that's the way that I actually learned. That's the way that I took it. And you mentioned prayer and everything too. There was times that I was stuck in my own head, man. Like, I'm looking at other people's stuff. And as soon as you start looking at other people's stuff and the you know what I'm talking about?
Great,
like,
mirrors.
When you go on Good Pods, and you look at the ranking system.
I know.
And I'm like, what did I do on wrong? And then you have to switch and be like, maybe I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right.
You're just stuck in your own head. So that's when I started praying and everything. Every single time that I was doubting myself, God answered what I had to go with.
Yeah.
Every single time. Like, for instance, whenever I had the Holman Domingo thing, the interview, I didn't expect that to happen. Yeah. I went on ahead, prayed about the, because I was in the film festival already, and I didn't even have a clue that Holman even did a short film. I seen the animated work. I loved it. So I asked the people for a screener for it.
Yeah.
It just so happens to be, it was Coleman, and I geeked out over it because of the fact I knew him from Fear of the Walking Dead. Ooh. So it was just coincidental. And sometimes coincidental is better than knowing.
And here's the thing. You should actually probably repost that because The Color Purple is out and it just, yeah, it just getting more traction. But the thing about it, and so God never gives you a, what I call a one-time blessing.
No.
So he'll let you get that, and you think, man, am I out of home runs? Because it's easy to think, like, man, that might have been the best one. That might have been it. But then it'll come around again, like, oh, no, this is also going to, you know, gain traction, and it's going to lead to this, right? It's like a domino effect. So, yeah, you got to break – you really do have to break your mirrors because comparison
– this transition.
It is. You know, like there's an old saying, a man left good for great and ended up with worse, right? Like, mm-hmm. You don't want to say, well, I'm not this person, therefore I'm not successful, because you don't know what that person did. And it might not be worth it, honestly, if you figured out how they got to that point. It's really about, this is where I'm supposed to be at for this moment in my life. That is the barometer for success. Now, I will allow you to motivate me, you know, because right. I think a healthy level of competition is good. It keeps you on your toes. It keeps you bright.
But right. That's what Arnold said. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, you don't want it to become toxic. So.
Right. And I want to mention this, though, too. This is another thing that stood out to me, was helping others.
Yes.
And here's the thing. You know me, man. You know that I always try to help people. Yeah. With their stuff. Like, I have people reach out to me like, how did you do your shorts? How did you come up with that? And I'm not bragging about myself or anything like that or anything. I'd be like, look, this is what I did. These are the mistakes I made before I got to this point and everything, because I made mistakes. Right. I said, it's good to know what you made a mistake on, so you don't repeat the same mistake. And sometimes, and everything, you're so glued into what you're doing that you don't realize, too, maybe the person that you were once working with may have slowed you down to the point where it's stopping the podcast and stopping everything that you're doing. Yeah. Therefore, you have to make adjustments to where, you know, you and your other co-host or something like that, for example, can do better. And yeah, what may work before is not working now. So therefore, you have to change. There's nothing wrong with the other person. It's just that it's time to change. It's time to evolve,
right,
and do things differently. And that's something else, though, too, though, whenever I want to talk about helping others, is the fact that, you know, I love the fact that people want me to help. That's mm-hmm. something that I love doing, because I made my mistakes before with stuff. And I know what works. I know what doesn't work. If you don't apply those and you're wondering still why you're not getting the results,
yeah,
the answer is, the key is you, the person, because of the fact that I'm giving you the advice, but you still choose to ignore what to do in your descriptions. You're still ignoring what not to do in your titles and your thumbnails. So therefore, you just, like you said about Arnold saying, shut your mouth and open your ears.
Yeah.
Someone's giving you advice, you ask questions.
Yeah.
And I used to be like that, man. I used to be like, I wouldn't listen to anybody either. Yeah. I'm guilty of it. It's like, no, I know what's best for me. I know what's best for my brand. I know what's best for what I need to do. I don't need to listen to anybody. And then I started analyzing and started looking at it. I'm like, wait, I'm doing really bad here. I need to reevaluate on what's working, what's not working. Why am I feel like I'm feeling at something? I need to actually ask questions. And that's whenever I started shutting my mouth and opening my ears. Because you learn a lot more if I just shut my mouth and let somebody else answer my question.
No, you're right. I think the thing that I really like about Arnold, when he talks about nobody makes it by themselves, he talks about Trent, the gentleman Grotz, and then Joe Weider, you know, bringing them to the United States, you know, and then training with Frank Zane and Draper and Sergio Oliva. And he said he took all these things and it allowed him to become who he was, right? Or who he is, I should say. Because I think we live in a society that selfishness is like the flavor of the day, and we're so used to hearing bad stuff that goodness scares us. And when somebody is good, it's foreign. Like there's got to be more to it, right? Like you always say, it's too good to be true. Like that's a saying. Like that should never.
Or what's in it for them?
Yeah. So it's like, well, what's really in it for you, right? So, but you don't want to be a gatekeeper because, you know, karma is real, right? You do reap what you sow in some regards, you know. So if you're willing to extend yourself, even if you think like, man, well, if that person gets it over me, if that person gets it over you, then they should extend the ladder back down so that you can get pulled up too, right? And that's how it should be. It should be a constant reach and pull effect. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in the spirit of competition so much that we're willing to negate, there's a moral consciousness to competition. Like, hey, look, you can win and still appreciate who you just beat, right? And still honor them in their defeat. But when we win, we want to win and rub your nose in it and celebrate and, you know, do the moonwalk just to let you know that you could never touch me. But like, that's not real winning, right? So, no, I think you do have to break your mirrors. And I think you do have to have a real internal check on your motives and say, who have I helped today? Like, even if I'm not at a million subscribers, have I tried to offer any advice? And John, I think you've done a great job. I mean, we've had plenty of conversations in the past, like, hey, you know, you might want to think about this for YouTube thumbnail. You might want to think about this. You might want to think about that. And if you listen, if the person listens and not take it as, well, what do you know? You know,
right, exactly. You know, that's why I always am careful at how I present myself, yeah, though, too, because I always say this. I'm not trying to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to improve on something, I can tell you what you need to improve on if you want me to tell you. Because if you just say, well, let me tell you all the ways that you're screwing up. No, that's not me. That's not how I'm going to do things. You know what I'm saying? That's the quicker way for them to shut the door in your face without having to ask any questions.
That's true. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? It's all about how you present yourself, though, too. You also have to be the type of person where it's like, look, I want to help this person, but how do I go about doing it? And if you don't know how to do it, make a list of different ways to approach and come up with ideas, mm-hmm, and everything too. Because that's how I had to do it though too. It's like, because me, I'm kind of blunt in some areas to the point where I don't know how I'm coming off.
Sure.
So therefore, I'm like, okay, this person doesn't know me from a hole in the wall. I've been on this show one time. So how do I go about keeping my relationship with this person and collaborating with this person, and to where I don't feel like I'm being a total ball bat?
That's true. True.
So what I do is I just say, look, I noticed some things. If you want to, I can tell you what to do to improve things. And if you're interested, you know, tell me if you're interested. If not, that's cool too. Keep on doing you and I'll do me, and you know, we'll just press on. Mm. But Arnold even said it too himself. He said, I'm friends with my competition. We are all competing against each other, but we're also working with each other too.
Right, right.
To build each other up. So that's something is admirable to me. And I definitely agree with you about one thing else, though. You said that too, was the whole entire you don't need sleep thing. Yeah. I have to laugh at that. Like, all I could think of him as a kindergarten cop, his voice coming over. There is no rest.
Yeah, so just a little bit more coffee. That's all I was saying.
Right. But dude, I really have to say this is my first how-to book or whatever and stuff like that. I really enjoyed it and everything, and I didn't want it to end and stuff like that too. Because you know, he even said it himself as a political person who worked was a governor in California and Sacramento. He was still, even whenever he had, you know, during the forest fires and stuff like that, and he already had cots already set up, already organized. We also have to learn how to better organize ourselves to do what we do.
That's true.
And everything too. So, you know, I was like, oh, I don't know because I've read other people's reviews too. Like, all he's talking about is working out, being governor, and being part of the movie world. I'm like, well, you weren't actually listening.
Right, right. and if that is all he's talking about, that's still a big deal. I mean, there's not too many people to say I am the face of fitness and still I have the ideal classic men's physique. I became governor of a state. I became the biggest action movie hero ever. There's a short list of that, and he's number one on every single list, right? So you know, even if that is the criteria and that's all he's known for, that's still a lot. Most people aren't known for one thing, not alone three things, right? So,
right. Yeah. But I ended up learning how to apply what he's talking about as a metaphor for me, because I don't work out. The only thing I work out is a candy bar in my hand and drinking something to eat. But I see you over there grinding and everything. I'm like, oh, look at you. You're doing things. Me, I'm just sitting on my fat butt. I'm on the sidelines. Like, go, Vernon.
I'm just trying to slow down the aging process, my friend.
But, you know, we all have our own things. We all have our own stuff that we like. But yeah, working your butt off is one of them. Sell yourself is another thing. Was there anything else that stood out for you as far as the book goes?
I'm looking at, I think the first, I'm gonna say the second chapter of Never Think Small.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier, particularly as you get older, to play it safe, and you start thinking about stability. You start thinking about, you know, I'm not in my 20s anymore, right? I can't just do what I used to do. And you start minimizing your ambition. And I think there's some wisdom to that. But I also think it's because you don't want to be the dreamer at 60, right? Didn't accomplish
right.
anything, right? But I also think it's a sign of a lack of faith too. And it's not a good or bad thing. It's just, it's a real thing. And I think not minimizing your approach so that you can rationalize where you are in life is important. And I think it's easy to get caught up in rationality, particularly as you age, right? And say, hey, look, maybe in my 20s, I should have did this. Or in my 30s, I should have opened up this business, right? In my 40s, you know, but it's okay to go for it, you know, and really go for it, right? Even if you think you're past a certain point in time. And I think that's something that everybody should think about is like, am I really going for it? Whatever it is for you. Right. So that really spoke volume to me.
Me too. And then there's also 24 hours in a day. Use them.
Yeah, use them. Yeah.
And I always have this quote, do one thing, even if it's for an hour, do one thing each day to get you closer to what you want to do.
Right.
For your goal, even if it's an hour. And Arnold even said it, you have, even if it's an hour. For me, audio editing for about an hour and taking a break is me trying to achieve my goal.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm the same man too. I'm an insane person because I actually fell asleep while editing before. I don't know if you ever done that or anything.
Yeah,
but
it's editing is not easy. You
got
to look at audio and splicing, and you start layering things and adding effects, and it'll make you want to quit. It'll be like, oh my gosh, it'll take you an hour to get through the first 5 minutes of a clip. You'd be upset. You'd be like, how do people do this? You know, so
right. Especially audio editing at that too, because my eyes sometimes go cross-eyed to the point like where you're actually falling asleep.
Yeah. Cause you got to listen. You got to listen to the drop-offs. You got to listen to, was that distortion? Was there an echo? Was there, you know, a laundry going on in the back? Like, you got to listen to so many different things when you're editing that you're not particularly focused on one thing. You're focused on the errors, and you're looking for errors. Right. And it's like, oh, let me mask the sound here. So I tell anybody, man, like, if you can edit, that's harder than podcasting. Editing is where the money is.
Right, exactly. And I can't tell you how many times that with the intro itself and trying to, because now I'm doing something different.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm trying to do the audio, like, you know how basically I'm getting rid of the original audio track that we just do for the intro. I delete that part, and now I have a new theme that I have. And I'm trying to match the music to where it's not too loud and blaring over my voice as I'm talking within the first 30 seconds. And that is a challenge. And then also putting in the Unfiltered Studios ads at the very beginning, though, too.
I get it.
You know, so it's a lot of time. And if you don't have a lot of time and you think this is easy, then you need to go on ahead and find something else.
Right.
You think.
Editing is the hardest part of every episode. It's booking the guests, doing the episode, making sure that there are no technical errors, and then
and promos, right?
Yeah, and then the promos, trying to nail that. Yeah, that's a definitely hard thing to do.
Right, but I wanted to make sure that everything that you wanted to say about the book and everything is that you got everything that you wanted to say.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fantastic. I recommend it. Obviously, we're not sponsored by the book, but Arnold, if you want to sponsor both podcasts, go ahead and give us a call. We will gladly accept any and all funds. but no, it's, guys, if you're looking for something not corny, because it's not one of those books that it's like, yeah, all you got to do is go outside and dream about it. And like, it's not one of those, right? It's a very
thought out book.
Almost a realist approach to imaginative concepts, right? And Arnold does a great job in explaining what drove him and still what is driving him to this day. So go get the book.
Yes, I highly recommend getting the book. And like I said, I listened to Howard Stern interview Arnold. And to be honest with you, I think that was one of his best interviews of 2023 whenever I heard him interview him.
Yeah.
And as soon as he was talking about goals, as soon as he was talking about everything, my mind instantly went to my podcast and instantly went to you because I know you work out. I know that you like Arnold and stuff like that too. So I'm like, I got to tell Vernon about this. I've got to tell him about this book because I think this will be a good thing for you and I to review.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are now. And yeah, I'm not a big person when it comes down to these kind of books. This is my first book that I bought and probably my last one because I don't think anything can touch this one because I'm not a big fan of let's get you fit in like 10 days or 10 minute abs. I'm like, or you know what I'm saying? I'm not a big fan of how to books and things like that. This one motivates you. This one's thought out. Yeah. This one tells you if you want to achieve certain goals, how to achieve certain goals and everything and how to shoot for bigger things. So Arnold's book is fantastic. I totally recommend it. Like Vernon said, go in and get yourself a copy. I promise you it'll make you be useful. And I promise you those 7 tools is going to make you get up off your butt and do something. So with that being said, do you have anything going on as far as your shows go or anything?
Man, rocking and rolling, guys. Help us get. We have goals. We're growing. We're doing our thing. You know, you got a lot of interesting content coming up. But go to YouTube at CBMK. Join the fun. You know, comment, share, subscribe. Argue with me. I don't care what you do. But just go YouTube.
He just wants someone to love him. That's all he wants. Show him some love.
I just want some love. Just go to YouTube right. And CBMK. And I really appreciate all your support. And thank you for having me on, man.
You're welcome, man. Anytime. It's always a pleasure to have you on. If you don't remember any of that stuff that he just said, it's guess what? If you guys are lazy and don't want to go on ahead and pause it and write everything down, I have provided all that stuff for you in the description below. So go on ahead, show him some love over there. He does fantastic shows. I love his NBA talk. I don't know about Baby Boy being a best pitcher nom or anything, but that's debatable. But his podcast is fantastic. I laugh my butt off while I'm working, stocking shelves at work. It's fantastic. But last night, me and the fellas, we went on ahead and did best Leonardo DiCaprio movies of all time. And that was fun. We did like an NFL draft kind of thing where we actually picked out about 15 movies of Leonardo DiCaprio. We ended up going through the semifinals. And I'm not going to tell you who won during that whole entire thing. You guys are just going to have to listen to it whenever I release it. So that's going to bring us to our closing. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And of course, always until next time. Thank you again, Vernon, for being on here. It was a pleasure, as always, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.